you will. Miss Glenda, I was wondering while they were singing that song if you were thinking the same thing I was. Then I saw you wiping them tears and I thought, yeah, she is. We grew up hearing that song. Yeah. Our pastor and his wife, Brother Charles and Miss Jean Williams, they'd sing that song about once a month. Yeah. And boy, it always, they'd shout the house down when Brother Charles and Miss Jean sang. Some of us don't realize how fortunate, and how blessed we are to have grown up the way we did. Most of us, not all of us, but the majority of us, have heard truth preached to us since we were little bitty things, like these guys. Boy, we ought not take that for granted. The Bible says we have a goodly heritage. Amen. Phew, I'm just stirred up tonight. I'll read. I can't see right now anyhow. I come in tonight and Brother Stacy handed me this tract. It's got his picture on the front of it. He wanted something to hand out while he's cooking and doing the fundraisers. I told him I was going to put it on my refrigerator and scare the roaches out of my house. Amen. But I was just joking with him. I hadn't looked at the back, and I turned it over while they were singing and read it. And what a blessing, man. It's a miracle of God any of us are here. He even shows up on Wednesday. Isn't that something? I want to read some very familiar scripture tonight and just preach a simple little thought. I really just want to encourage you tonight. I want to do more than encourage you. I want to light a fire under you. Amen. If some of y'all ain't got excited yet, you ain't gonna. It just ain't gonna happen. I'm praying you get saved. Amen. Man, if seeing people born again over and over and over, and I don't mean the same person over and over, but seeing people saved service after service after, if that don't stir you, man, something is wrong with you. Amen. I'm telling you, something's missing. Something's missing. Brother Samuel said, something's missing somewhere. Amen. So anyway, man, yeah, I want to stir you up. The Bible said in Jude, verse 22, and if some have compassion, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 23 said, in others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to preach on this thought. Strike while the iron is hot. I told my wife that on the way to church. She said, what does that mean? I said, well, it's kind of like get it while the getting's good. Yes, sir. Amen. Strike while the iron is hot. That was a blacksmith's term. They would pull the iron out of the forge and they'd strike it with a hammer while the iron was hot. Yeah. If you waited till the iron got cold, it was so much harder to bend. But they said, strike that iron while it's hot. And I want to say as a church, we need to strike that iron while it's hot. And by the way, it's hot. Amen. It is hot. Listen to me. Jesus said the fields are white and ready in the harvest, but the laborers are few. Listen, I'm here to tell you there's souls out there that need to be saved. They need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if I were you and I had a family member who was lost, family day's coming up. Family day. What an opportunity, man, to get a lost. How many of you got a lost family member? Look at yonder, that's nearly everybody in this room. Hey, that'd be a good day just to call them up. Say, hey, man, we're having family day. I believe you get a lost person under this kind of spirit, under this kind of preaching, under this kind of moving of the Holy Ghost. Brother, they just liable to get in. Amen. Brother Jerry, I said that was his son-in-law that got saved on Sunday morning. And now Wendy's mad at me, but it wasn't his son-in-law. It was his nephew-in-law. It was his niece's husband. I got it right now. He told me that he went with me to Columbus, Georgia on Friday night. I went down and preached for Brother Jonathan McNeese, and Brother Jerry was asking me about them coming. He said, well, they're a mixed couple. Will that bother you? I said, I don't care if they're polka-dotted, man. Tell them to come. I watched God sit in on that old boy back there. I mean, before I ever even preached. It was before I preached. I mean, ain't been no preaching done. They was singing, people testifying, and people praying. I watched tears rolling down his face. Then he just ducked down in the pew like that. And I was like, seek him, Lord. Get him. Get him, Holy Ghost. Jump on him, Jesus. Amen. And boy, it wasn't but a minute here he come. He come down here, he said, man, I need to get saved. I said, do you know what to do? He said, I sure do. I said, well, call on him, son. And buddy, he cried out. I'm just telling you, if we'll strike while the iron's hot, amen. I don't believe it'll stay like this forever. Amen. Don't get me wrong, I want it to. There's highs and there's lows. Right now, our church is on a high. I'm serious, man. You walk out of here just head swimming. Woo! Amen. I mean, I'm just like, there ain't no way I'd lay out. Unless I have something else, a prior obligation or something like that, there ain't no way I'd just lay out. I'd be scared to death what'd happen. Amen. I'd be scared to death to keep my family at home in services like this. Chances are one of them little boys, one of them little girls might get saved. Amen. Strike while the iron is hot. Man, I've been so excited everywhere I go. Have y'all been telling people? Have you been rehearsing what the Lord's been doing around here? You say, well, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. Brag, man, brag. Brag on the Lord. You can't brag on Him too much. You can't give Him too much glory. We had roping practice last night, and there were several people over there I'd never seen before. I was telling them all. One of the guys over there is a horse trainer. His name's Jason. He's from Montana, and he's from the area where I'm going next week. And I've witnessed to him. He says he's saved. Can't get him to come to church. But I pulled up yesterday and boy, got out of the truck and started talking to him. I said, man, you ain't going to believe what happened Sunday. He said, did y'all have another good one? I said, we sure did. I said, man, there's three or four got saved. I said, man, heaven come down and glory filled our soul. And then this other young girl come walking across there. She said, what are y'all talking about? I said, the Lord showed up yesterday. And here a while later, this other lady, she owns a place. She come walking across there and Jason said, you ain't told her. He said, you told everybody else. You ain't told her. I said, come here. I'll tell you too. Hey, we ought to be rehearsing what the Lord is doing in this place. He said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Let me give you three little thoughts tonight. Number one, there's got to be a calling. There's got to be a calling. Hey, if your family's going to get here, you got to tell them. You got something, something's got to give. You got to unhinge your jaws for something other than gossip. Yeah, amen. Amen. Right. Put it on face. You want to put something on Facebook? Put this stuff on Facebook. Put what the Lord's doing on Facebook. Amen. Y'all so quick to run your mouth? Stacy Bullock. I got done preaching Sunday night, barely got in my truck, headed home, my phone's ringing. Is Steve Swofford. I knew it. I didn't even want to answer it. If y'all remember that last Sunday night, I said, I love that little fat preacher right down the street. Was it Jerry Bailey? Stacy's pointing at Jerry. I answered the phone. I said, hello. He said, what's all this talking about me being fat? I said, man, that wasn't 10 minutes ago. But I'm telling you, news travels fast, especially when it's juicy. Amen. Hey, there ought to be a calling. Why don't you get you out a piece of paper right now? Write a name on it. Yeah. Write a name on it. Hey, we got Friend Day coming in August. Is that right? There's two opportunities to get everybody you know. Amen. We got Friend Day coming in August, in July, I believe, the 19th. Is that right? 6th. That's what?
July 6th.
July 6th. That'll be Sunday week. Is that right? First Sunday in July, that's right. No, that won't be in Sunday week, it'll be two Sundays. Write a name down. Have you got it? Did you write one down? Have you got one in your mind for Family Day? What about Friend Day? Call them. Call them. Go see them. There's got to be a calling. Somebody has got to tell them. Somebody has got to tell them. Hey, listen, I don't know where we're going to put all these people. And I don't really care. If we have to stack them up like cordwood to get them in here. I don't care. They're dying and they're going to hell. And somebody needs to say, hey, you need to come to my church. Hey, your family is the hardest people in the world to witness to. You ever tried to witness to a lost family member? Brother Freddie, I can imagine you trying to talk to your dad. That'd probably be the hardest thing in the whole world, man. Try to witness. I did it to my dad. I mean, man, that was a hard deal. I didn't know how to bring it up. I didn't know what to say. But that's a tough thing. Hey, how about just saying this? I'd give anything if you'd come to church with me. I'd give anything if you'd come to church with me. It's family day, and it'd mean a lot to me to have my family sitting in the pew with me. There's got to be a calling. There's got to be a calling. When's the last time you invited your family? When's the last time you invited a friend or a co-worker? Well, it got quiet. When's the last time you invited them? There's got to be a calling. You're going to have to reach out. Now listen, if you're like me, you've got good intentions. You've got very good intentions. You've got somebody on your mind right now. But the devil will take that out of your head as soon as you leave here. That's why I said write it down. Write down a name. Write it down where you'll see it. Put a string around your finger. Tie one around your neck. Whatever you got to do. But remember them. When we come down here, that name you wrote down, we're going to come down. We can call on that person, but we can come down here tonight and call on Jesus on their behalf. Amen. We can come down here and ask the Lord to save them. Say, Lord, I'll do everything in my power to get them here. But God, if I get them here, I pray you save them before it's too late. There's got to be a calling. We can call on them and we can call on him. Amen. How many of you wrote down a name? That's most of you. That's most of you. Thank God. How many of you got one in your mind? That's the rest of you. Hallelujah. See to it that you reach out to them. If every hand that was raised just now got one family member here Sunday, that would double the crowd we have tonight. The choir would have to stay up. The place will be filled. Call them. Call on them. Call on him. If you've got family that are saved and just not in church, call them. Because they know they need to be there. Call them. If you've got family that ain't doing right, call them. If you've got family that's going to the wrong type of church, call them. I don't want to pull you away from your church, but it's family day. I'd love for you to come. I'll come with you someday. Bargain with them. Bargain with them. Get them here. There's got to be a calling. Number two, there's got to be some compassion. If you don't care, you won't call. If you don't care, you won't call. And if you don't care, come ask God to give you a burden. Brother Jerry Bailey sat here and listened to Brother Don preach a few Wednesday nights ago, and he preached on bitterness, and it tore Brother Jerry out of frame. He had a niece and a nephew they didn't have nothing to do with, kind of exiled from the family. He went to their house, brother. Hey, you know what God did? God took a man that did not care and put a care where there was none. Hey, God will give you a burden if you'll ask God. God, burden my heart for my family. God, burden my heart for my lost friends. God, give me a burden. There's got to be a burden. There's got to be some compassion. There's got to be some care. Do you know what drove Jesus to the cross? Do you know what caused him to say, if it be thy will, I pray thee let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. You know what caused him to pray that prayer? He cares. He cares for us. You know why you're saved tonight if you are? Because Jesus cares for you. Because Jesus cares for you. You know why I'm standing in this pulpit tonight? Because of this man right here in front of this Bible. Cared enough to give up a Saturday. Cared enough to turn down a little old dirt road where he saw some Hot Wheels in the yard and knock on the single wide trailer door. Somebody cared. Somebody, you're here because somebody cared. Jesus cared, but did somebody brought you to him? Every one of us. Most of us are fortunate. It was our parents. But everybody's not that way. Brother Freddie, when he was like, how old were you when you got saved? 23 years old. A friend of his got saved. Is that right? His buddy of his got saved. You know what that buddy did? That buddy found Freddie Young and said, hey man, let me tell you what happened to me. And shared with him the gospel, and he got saved first time he ever heard it. Isn't that a blessing, man? I'm glad he cared enough about Freddie Young. Hey, because that guy cared. We have one of the greatest Bible teachers that's ever walked the planet. Sitting right there. Why? The credit goes, what's the guy's name? You remember? Joey. Thank God for Joey. I may never meet Joey as long as I live. Joey may never come through the doors of this church, but I'm glad one day he cared enough about his friend over in Alabama who's playing in a rock band, had hair down to here, looked like Cousin It. Thank God somebody cared. Amen. It's no accident. It's no accident. He didn't just show up. Somebody cared. There had to be a calling. Somebody said, hey, Freddie, can I talk to you? There was the calling. I wonder if Joey, before he got to Freddie, said, Lord, this is a hard nut to crack right here. He may cuss me out. I guarantee he thought that. Because I can't imagine how he was before he got saved. I bet that guy was going, oh, Jesus, you're going to have to help me. Oh, Lord, this is like witnessing to the devil himself. I guarantee his nerves was tore out of Frank, but he cared enough to call on God to help him, to call on him, and he called and he got born again. Yes, what am I saying? You say it's real simple, preacher. I know. If it's that simple, why don't we do it? Yeah. Got to be a calling. There's got to be some compassion. There's got to be some compassion. You ever noticed on your jobs, they might make fun of you, call you reverend or deacon or whatever because you pray over your food and all that. But if they ever got trouble, hey man, can I talk to you a minute? Remember me when you pray. You ever notice that? You ought to care about them people. You ought to care about them people. At one time, when I worked at the Board of Education, at one time, hey, four or five of them were coming, them guys. I mean, by William Couch, Bud, I can't remember his last name. Guy retired from the Air Force. Big, fat guy, bald-headed. Anyhow, you ain't no help. Several of them guys, Mike Cato. And I work with them guys every day, man. Every day. Brother William Couch, he comes on Sunday occasionally, and man, he was going through a hard time in his life, and me and him worked together a lot. He said, hey, I need a favor. And he's hard as a brick wall. I said, what's the matter, man? And he told me what he was going through. And but he's one of them hard guys. He don't shed a tear. Big old tear rolled down his face. Why then I got started? I said, why don't we get down here in this bus right here and pray? Well, William started going to church. Yeah. Lord, care about them people. Amen. Care about their problems. Care about their needs. Yeah. There's got to be a calling. There's got to be some compassion. I ask you a question. Do you care? Almost everybody's hand went up and when I said, do you have a lost family member? Almost everybody in this room raised their hand. When's the last time you even prayed for them? When's the last time you even prayed for them? At least once a week, I pray for his daddy. I'm not sure if he's saved or not. I don't know. I got a sneaking feeling that he is. And he's just the kind, he's mean enough, he wouldn't tell you. He'd just let you keep guessing. Amen. But I pray for Fred Young at least once a week, every week. For 16 years, 17 years, however long it's been. Hey, brother, one day we're going to find out he's either going to get saved or he's going to tell us he is saved. Amen. Amen. You got to care. You got to care. Man, I sat there in that church Sunday morning weeping crocodile tears. I knew there was some lost people here. I was watching them wiggle. And I was praying, Lord, Lord, don't let them leave here. Lord, don't. This may be the only opportunity you ever get, God. Sit down on them heavy. There's got to be a calling. There's got to be some care. Verse 23, the Bible said, and others save with fear. Amen. And others save with fear. You ever thought about what that means? And others save with fear. What do you mean save with fear? Pulling them from the fire. And others save with fear. You may need to get real personal with somebody and say, bud, you're going to hell. Yeah. This may be your only opportunity. You can't talk to everybody like that, but the Holy Ghost will tell you when to be blunt. The Holy Ghost will tell you when to be straightforward. And others save with fear. There may be a guy on your job going through a divorce. You need to say, hey man, you want some help? You need to come to church. You need to come hear the preacher. You need to come hear the singing. I'm telling you, God is doing things. Tell them. Say, man, you wouldn't believe that the families in our church, that when they came, they were separated. Sure. Tell them about what God's done in the lives of others. And others saved with fear. Amen. You got family that you care about and you love? If you really care, tell them. If the Lord will give you liberty, you tell them. Tell them with tears rolling down your face, I don't want you to die and go to hell. I'm going to heaven and I want to know you're going to be there too. Amen. There's got to be a calling. There's got to be some compassion. Sometimes there has to be some compelling. Some people may be against this, but I believe it'd be all right to bribe them. Amen. Brother Bo's daddy, I'll never forget years ago. That crowd used to be as faithful as a clock ticking, son. They was there every service. I'll never forget old Clint come to me one Wednesday night. He said, my neighbor, Jason, back down the street, he said, he's lost. He said, I told him if he'd come to church Sunday, I'd cut his grass for 2 weeks. He came and got saved. He got out, but he got saved. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know what Clint did? He cut his grass for 2 weeks. Was that worth it? Yes, yeah, it's worth it. It's well worth it, man, to know that guy's not going to hell. Clint cared enough about that guy's soul to cut his grass. And if Clint's like normal men, he hates cutting grass. Amen. I wouldn't have said that. I'll wash your truck or something. Amen. I ain't cutting your grass. Strike while the iron's hot. I'm telling you, if I had somebody in my family that's lost, I'd do everything in my power to get them here that first Sunday in July. You know why? Because God's showing up in this place in a big way. Amen. In a big way. Somebody asked me Sunday night, said, what's going to happen next? I said, I don't know. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound, yeah, brother. I'm ready. I'm listening for the rapture. Yeah, amen. Amen. How many got saved here Sunday? Four? Was it three in here? And two outside, two in junior church, five. Hallelujah, man. That could have been somebody in your family. That could have been one of your coworkers, one of your friends. Compel them. Offer to buy them dinner. If you'll come to church with me Sunday, I'll take you to lunch. Amen. I think it'd be worth it. I think it'd be worth it. You may be, I don't want to embarrass Brother Jerry tonight and say too much about this, but you may be like Brother Jerry. There may be somebody in your family that you're estranged with. You're not right with one another. You don't want them to get saved. What got quiet there? You don't pray for them because you can't stand them. Maybe it's you that needs to be the bigger person. And go to them just like Jerry did his niece and say, hey, I'm sorry. I want you and your family to come to church with me. If Jerry had not responded to the preaching that Wednesday night, Floyd, was that his name? Yes. Floyd would have died and went to hell. But that ain't all. He come back Sunday night. His little boy came back Sunday night, and he got saved. Amen. That's a household now that knows Jesus who did not know him before. I'm assuming the niece is already saved, is that right? How about that? Yes, sir, brother. We'll pray for him. But had he not responded to that message, they'd have both went to hell, chances are. Now I'm wondering how you'll respond to this message. Raise your hand again. You know somebody's lost.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Boy, ain't that something? Every one of us. Maybe we can't all fill a pew. What if we all just got one?
Yeah.
What if we all just got one? Isn't that what we're supposed to do as a church?
Amen.
Amen. We're just a beggar telling another beggar where to get some bread.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I thought about that little lady at the well. She ran back to town. She said, come see a man. Told me all things. Whatever I did is not this to Christ. You know what she said? Come see what's happening.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Come to my church. See what's going on. Come check this out. Amen. I believe it was wasn't Brother Jesse. I think it was Bo. Brother Bo's wife was telling us the other night that they were going New Year's Eve. They were going to where y'all used to go to church together. Is that right? They were going to a New Year's Eve service, or where you used to go to church. Somewhere they was going to a watch night service. And they called them on the way to see if they were going. And they said, well, we're at Happy Valley. They said, where's that? In Villa Rica. They were almost to Marietta. They turned around, came all the way back here, and got in on our watch night service and been here ever since. Brother Stacy and I took a Boston butt and delivered it up here at the storage place to Brother Sean's mama. Invited her to church. She came. But she didn't come by herself. That crowd has filled up 3 or 4 pews. And they brought to this church some of the sweetest people I've ever met. Except Sean. He's special. And that's putting it lightly. You never know what a phone call might do. There may be an entire family out of church that you caring enough to give them a call and compel them to come might make a difference in their lives. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Strike while the iron is hot. Get it while the getting's good. There ain't no telling what's going to happen here on Sunday. Ain't no telling. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Come get you a prayer sheet. Let's spend some time. Praise the Lord for this young man, Billy, getting saved tonight. How about that? Ain't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Don't forget, I hope somebody put it on there, but Michael Powell, pray for his family. Huh? Stacy did? Okay. Praise the Lord. Hey, and we got enough money to get that family a room, put them up for the week, and get them some groceries. So thank you, church. Do what, brother?